It's a local charity with a goal to help everyone face death informed, supported and pain-free. St Catherine's Hospice provides expert care for people in East Surrey and West Sussex when life comes full circle. Built by and for the community, it simply couldn't operate without ongoing support in various forms. On the line to talk about the charity is Legacy Officer Andy Perry. Good morning, Andy.
Good morning, Annie. Good to hear from you.
And you too. Now, St Catherine's, it helps people in the community affected by serious illness, supporting people when and more importantly where it's needed. Tell us what form that takes, Andy.
Okay, yeah, certainly, yes. Well, St Catherine's Hospice, we're based in Crawley, but we support people from across West Sussex and East Surrey. And we look after about 2,000 people a year. We care for them at the hospice, in the community, and we provide opportunities for physical care, emotional support, social opportunities, welfare support and spiritual care as well.
And you were actually established in or around the early 1980s, weren't you? And you are real experts in end-of-life care. But you, as you said, you look after 2,000 terminally ill people, but you also help their family, their friends, their carers every year, don't you?
That's right, absolutely. As you say, we were set up in 1983, the hospice first opened its doors, and you know, we fully recognise that behind every single patient, pretty much, there's going to be a family, there's carers, and you know, that could be young children as well. So we are here to support the whole family, and that's really from the point of referral right through to, sadly, the time of bereavement and beyond even. So we continue supporting people as long as they, you know, absolutely need our help.
And let's talk about some of the services that you provide. Let's talk about them in turn, actually, because there are sort of three main things that I read about, which I think are important to talk to people about. The first one is care at home, isn't it? 8 out of 10 people you care for are cared for in their own home.
Absolutely, yeah. We recognise that for many people, home is absolutely where they want to be. So they can be close to their family, close to their friends, pets, things that are important to them, perhaps photos, memorabilia. So for people, very often care is the right place. Home is the right place for them to receive care. And so we have an extensive community nursing team, which will go out and offer care and support to people in their own homes, whether that's perhaps helping them to have a wash or a shave, administering some medication, changing dressings, all those sort of things, and at the same time offering support to the family and seeing if there's any changes that are needed or other services that may be a benefit to them.
And that's the thing, you've reiterated really just, you know, what a myriad of different things you do. The symptom control is very important. If you want to be at home, that's a very important thing, so having nurses come and actually help you. It's a seamless transition, hopefully. The other thing that I read about, which is important to mention to people, is that you actually have a welfare advisor, don't you? And they can actually help sort out things that are really very difficult to sort out during this very emotionally charged time.
That's right. I mean, when you're diagnosed with a terminal illness, your head's all over the place, and there's a lot of practical things to try and sort out, perhaps like how do I get a blue badge for the car for disabled parking. It can have a massive impact on somebody's finances as well, particularly if it's a main wage earner, maybe, that suddenly can't work anymore. And so we have a welfare advisor here who can help raise issues with people and point them in the right direction of where they may be able to get some help, be it state benefits or through other sort of benevolent funds, perhaps linked to maybe where that person used to work. And that's a really invaluable and important part of the service, just to help guide people through that aspect of it as well.
It is. And another part of the service is the day service. That can include all sorts of different things. It can include art classes and activities, even meditation, I understand. And so the sessions are very varied. And the idea is to help people manage their illness and be independent, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. People can come along. We run a number of activities through the day hospice. You mentioned art and music therapy and things like Reiki, meditation, items like that. Really, so people can come along and it's a bit of social time with some other people who are in exactly the same situation as themselves. They can talk to our lovely team of nurses, our therapists as well. We run some exercise classes as well so that people can keep mobile and retain their independence at home as far as they are possible. possibly able to, because for some people that becomes a frustration if they can't do what they used to be able to. So we try and get them sort of literally up on their feet to do what they are able to do still.
And just remind us also the details. The day hospice, that runs, is it throughout the week? It's in Crawley and Reigate, is that right?
That's correct, yeah. It runs throughout the week. Some sessions are here in Crawley, and we also have use of a sort of outreach centre, Woodhatch Centre in Reigate, to help people in the sort of north of our area.
So another service you provide is the inpatient unit, and that's 24-hour care, isn't it? On a ward or a room, or is it both?
Okay, yeah, you're absolutely right. We have our, what we call our inpatient unit. It's there's two wards with a total of 18 beds. Some are single-bedded rooms, some are multi-bedded rooms, which is quite nice because people can then chat to others if they're feeling able to. And here we can keep a really close eye on people and ensure we can manage their symptoms, deal with any pain control, perhaps offer respite care, and you know, obviously for some people, care at the very end of life. So that's a bit that people often think about most as a care on a ward. But also there's a chance there for people to, you know, perhaps have some, you know, hand massage and things like that. And a very popular feature as well is our drinks trolley that goes round once or twice a day as well, so people can have their favourite tipple while they're staying here still.
That's the thing, isn't it? It's about nurturing people. And the nursing team, they look after patients. They help them manage their illness. And as you say, that could be all sorts of different things. But it can easily also be a particular meal that somebody really fancies, or maybe having a bath, something they really want to have.
Absolutely, it is, yeah. And sometimes it's the little touches that make the biggest difference to people. As you say, perhaps having that bubbly bath in one of our special jacuzzi baths, often because of their illness, people perhaps can't have a bath at home, and that's just something, you know, they absolutely want to have. Or, yeah, it could be about having that favourite meal that they want, even if it's, you know, breakfast, noon or night sort of thing. We have a wonderful catering team, and they will do the absolute utmost to prepare the meal that somebody has asked for.
So all needs are really catered for.
They are indeed.
The whole spectrum. Now, all of this expert help and treatment, it costs money. And I think perhaps some of us maybe mistakenly believe that you're solely funded by the NHS, but that's not the case at all, is it?
No, we are a completely independent and registered charity, and it costs about £10 million a year to provide all our services. So that's a lot of noughts on that. We receive less than a third from the NHS, and we're very grateful for what we do receive from the NHS, but the rest of it comes through voluntary donations, principally from the local community, so people who are listening to Susie Radio right now.
And that's the thing, isn't it? I think most of us wouldn't realise just how independent you are and how much you have to raise that money. So it's made up. The deficit, you said, around about a third of the funding comes from the NHS, and the deficit is made up from the community. And that comes in various shapes and forms. So we've touched a little bit on it, but donations, you have fundraising events, don't you?
Yeah, you know, people make, you know, personal donations, perhaps in memory of a loved one that we've cared for. A number of other people go off and organise their own events, perhaps quiz evenings or football matches, that sort of thing. We organise a lot of events that people can take part in, where they want to run, walk, trek, walk all night long, trek in the Sahara, things like that. We, of course, have our shops out on the high streets in a number of towns around the area. We're also supported by many, many local companies who sponsor a lot of events and perhaps organise some employee fundraising for us. We have our in-house lottery as well. And also one of the best ways that people can support us, and many people do, is by leaving us a gift in their will.
Absolutely.
Which helps us provide care in the future.
Absolutely. So to sum it all up, the basic message to everyone out there is that we can all help in so many different ways. And that might be donations, it might be including leaving something in your will, participating in a fundraising event, playing the hospice lottery, or even just buying something in one of the hospice shops in the locality. There's just a whole myriad of different ways of doing it, isn't there?
Absolutely, there's so many ways of doing that, and obviously, you know, we're now looking to the future with the plans for building a new hospice at Peace Pottage as well.
Yes, so tell us about that. It's a new hospice development, isn't it?
That's right, yes. Plans are at a fairly advanced stage, and it will be a brand new hospice. It'll be bigger than our current building, so it'll offer more beds on our ward, but more than that, it'll offer more space for our teams of community nurses and therapists. So it means that we'll be able to have more staff, and then that means in turn we can help more to people in the community to make sure that, you know, we are here for everybody, as we say, when life comes full circle.
And the geography of that new hospice development is near Crawley, is that right?
That's right, just opposite Peace Pottage service station. There's a plot of land of 5 acres was donated to the hospice, and its plans are well underway for the new hospice. We're out to tender at the moment, the early stage of that. Hope is that we will start work early part of next year and move in the first part of 2022. So
okay,
that's not very far away.
So building work due to start in or around early 2020, and hopefully will be finished and constructed by 2022. So
absolutely,
lots of things moving forward to look forward to where you can actually help people. But it all depends on getting that help from all of us, not really.
Of course, because all our services are absolutely free of charge.
If listeners want to find out more, where should they go, Andy?
The best thing to do is to visit our website, which is www.stch.org.uk, or they can give the hospice a call, and our main number is 01293 447 333.
That's fantastic. I think, just to sum up really, St Catherine's, it really understands that everyone's needs and expectations are different. It's not just about recognising that fact, but about honouring it too, which is what the hospice is so good at doing. Thank you so much for talking to me today.
You're welcome, Annie. Thank you for your time. Thank you. Goodbye.
Not at all. That was Andy Perry, Legacy Officer at St Catherine's Hospice. And to find out more, you can go, as Andy said, online to www.stch.org.uk, or you can call the hospice, and the number there is 01293 447 333. I'll just give you that number again. It's 01293 447 333.